Hey everybody, Rob here. Got a really fun off-season Survivor podcast coming today. Another really fun show on the way. Riverdale coming to the CW this Thursday, January 26th, from the network that brought you The Vampire Diaries and Gossip Girl. Check out the wickedly irresistible new series, Riverdale. Riverdale is based on Archie comics, and they've adapted it for 2017. It's all about life in Riverdale, a small town with big secrets. And the story begins with a new year at Riverdale High and a grisly discovery. The body of one of its brightest young stars. The shock takes over the whole town. Suspicions and questions arrive. Who killed Jason Blossom and why? And what did everybody really do over the summer? And with whom? They've got all the Archie characters that you know and love. Good girl Betty, bad girl Veronica, golden boy Archie, misunderstood loner Jughead. Which character is crushing on who? Because in this twist of the classic comic, there's more to each character than meets the eye. Because in Riverdale, nothing and nobody are as they seem. So don't miss the thrilling premiere, the must-see new drama, Riverdale, Thursday, January 26th, only on the CW. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with some very fun Survivor off-season coverage today, because this is an idea that we had kicked around during the season, and it was inspired by a man who I just had on the podcast this past Friday. Brett LaBelle joined me. We talked through all of his adventures in Survivor, and of course, I thought it would be perfect timing to follow up and finally do this podcast we talked about during the season. It's time to get into the funniest Survivor drunk moments of all time. And here today to join me is a man who compiled this list. He's gone through, he's done all the research in Survivor. I'm not sure what research he's done into alcohol. Please welcome back. You know him from the So You Think You Can podcast competition, John Krause. John, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I actually feel a little bit hungover right now,
yes,
but I'm going to power through it.
Good. Okay. Well, what perfect timing to have back-to-back the Brett LaBelle interview and the countdown of the funniest all-time drunk Survivor moments.
I couldn't be more excited. Actually, to be perfectly honest, I'm as part of a New Year ritual, I'm doing a dry January.
Yes.
So this kind of like wet my whistle a little bit. I got to pretend that I was imbibing with some of my favorites.
Yeah, my brother does that. He calls it dryuary. I think I may have gotten all of the wordplay genes in the family.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. You would have to pronounce it like January for it to rhyme with dry.
It doesn't really work, but he does it every single year. Okay, so what spoke to you about this idea where we said during the season it would be a great countdown to go through all of the drunk Survivor moments? Because you reached out to me within a couple days of when we announced that on the podcast and said, basically, shotgun on the funniest drunk Survivor countdown.
Yeah, I don't know. We were just like, you were tweeting about some of the more recent drunken moments. And I think that anyone who's been a Survivor fan for long enough can probably think of a few of their favorite moments. There's just always a good, every couple seasons, there's like a moment where, you know, that there's someone gets really drunk and it's really funny. And I know that a lot of people, when they watch Survivor, they like to have their snacks. Usually I like to have a beer or two and I watch Survivor. So it seems like it's all in good fun.
I think that's something you might share in common with many of the Rob is a Podcast listeners as well.
Yeah, so let's dive right in, shall we?
Okay, so we've got a lot to get to here today. But first, let me just take a moment because I have so much hype right now for this Sunday after the AFC Championship game, John. Hunted is coming to CBS. Are you pumped up for Hunted?
May it last 33 seasons. I'm
yes,
so ready.
At least. Because Hunted is the new CBS reality series, which takes contestants and tries to see if they can disappear from law enforcement. It's a high stakes game of hide and seek. John, how would you be on this show?
All joking aside, I'm kind of curious to see how this plays out because I feel like it can't be that hard. It just can't be.
Really?
Like, I think, and I have no idea. I'll be honest. I haven't seen too much of I've seen a couple of the commercials, so I don't really know what the rules are. But like, I feel like you could probably bum a couple dollars from a stranger and then there's no, you know, paper trail there. And then like use that to buy a bus ticket and
yeah,
then hightail it like across the country and then go live in the woods somewhere.
Well, the way it works is they have 18 people in teams of two, and they're basically like fugitives, and they're on the run, and they have to hide from these professional hunters who are being directed by a command center with all these law enforcement guys from the FBI, the CIA, SWAT teams, U.S. Marshals, White House intelligence professionals, and so they follow them everywhere, social media, they take money out of ATMs, they leave any footprints, they're on them, and they have to be on the run for 28 days, and they have to stay in the zone of 100,000 square miles with severely limited funds. So I guess you could panhandle. That does sound like that's within the rules.
Yeah, I just I hope they don't have Rudy Bosch on the team looking for him, because I hear he doesn't even know what Twitter is.
Yeah, he doesn't know, or what I don't even know what ATM means.
Right.
So they got to avoid capture. If they succeed, they win $250,000, and each team gets a chance to win $250,000, not just the team who gets to the finish line first, with moms, married couples, best friends, ex-cons, a whole mix of people who want to match wits with law enforcement. This is going to premiere Sunday night after the AFC Championship game, January 22nd, only on CBS. And of course, we will have podcast coverage of Hunted coming right after the episode. Be on the lookout for that Sunday night / Monday morning. Okay, so John, let's get into this list. So how is this going to work?
All right, so I have the top 10 funniest drunken survivor moments as compiled by me, and with some help from my wonderful girlfriend. I just wanted to see like what ones actually made her laugh out loud. So we're gonna go 10 through 1. And then I have a couple honorable mentions that I couldn't quite fit in the list. And so we're going to intersperse those to really draw out the drama.
Okay, fair enough. So just take us through your process one more time. So you found the clips and then you played them for your girlfriend?
Yeah, so I asked a couple of friends. Shout out to my good friend Steven, and also to Liana, my former BBOTT competitor.
Yes, and one of my co-hosts on the Hunted podcast.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Brings
with Kurt
it all
Clark.
Around. Cool. Well, yeah. So I kind of bounced off of them. And then, yeah, I spent a lot of time actually just going through old episodes and looking at merge feasts and rewards. And then once I had a list of like all the times that I thought someone officially counted as drunk, then I winnowed that down and I eliminated ones that weren't funny. Sometimes they were, you know, a little bit sad. And then, you know, I cut out the ones that I thought maybe were a little too visual, you know, because this is a podcast, obviously. And then after I had
allegedly.
About 20, me and my girlfriend watched a bunch of them, and then I kind of gauged how well or how much she laughed, and that kind of helped me get my final rankings down, because I think they're all funny, but then she's a little less of a super duper fan. So
why don't we start off? Where do you want to take us?
All right, so we're going to actually start in the very recent history. This is my first honorable mention. I thought that a good convocation before we get too drunk is we want to go with the least drunken moment in Survivor history. So that's my first clip. Take it away.
I know you want to know what you're playing.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to like it. The winning team will be taken to a resort where you will lounge poolside while dining on cheeseburgers,
oh my gosh,
fries, French fries, and cocktails.
That was talking.
And soft drinks for Will.
All right, there we have it.
Yes.
Will from Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X, too young to drink. I'm not sure what the drinking age in Fiji is, but Jeff was having none of it.
Yeah, a lot of people made a big deal about this, so that Jeff really calling out how Will was not able to drink at all during Survivor, Millennials versus Gen X.
You know, he's not the first person to be under 21 to play Survivor. I believe the first under 21 was Frosty from Survivor China.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able in my searchings to see any instances of them drinking or not drinking. So they didn't make a big deal out of it one way or the other.
Okay. Are you advising that people do a shot after every single number in the countdown?
All right. So with the honorable mentions, you're going to have about 14 clips. So I guess it's really to each their own. I mean, I know some people definitely could handle it. Some of the people on this list could definitely handle it. But yeah. I don't want to be responsible one way or the other. So go for it if you want, but don't
John,
call me.
John, weigh in. Did Will Wall smuggle beers at Ponderosa?
Gosh, I mean, the cameras weren't on him and Jeff wasn't there at least part of the time and his mom wasn't there. So, you know, he definitely could have.
He
I know some people who follow Jay on Snapchat, like, I think they had some fun after the finale, and maybe Will might have done something that he doesn't want everyone to know about.
So, John, what is the number 10, the first official entry on your list?
Yes, now that Will has blessed us, we're ready to start. And with number 10, we're going to go pretty much all the way back to the early days of Survivor, before even you played.
Wow.
And yeah. And to set this up just a little bit, if some people haven't seen the earliest seasons, back in the day when the merge was about to happen, instead of it just happening, the tribes would elect two leaders or two representatives from their tribe to have sort of a summit. And then those two people would have to talk about the very, very difficult decisions of what to name the tribe. And oftentimes it would take so long that they would need food and drinks. And with that, I think we can take it away.
What would pizza be without
beer?
Just sat us down to pizza and 30 Coors Light.
Cheers.
Cheers. And I was sitting across from this young buck. And I'm going to pound beers and eat pizza with this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have two Survivor legends and two Survivor drinking legends in Boston Rob and Kathy Vavrick O'Brien.
Yes.
At the Merge Summit in Survivor Marquesas.
That's a really big moment back in Marquesas. First off, it's crazy to think why the Rotu tribe even let Boston Rob go and do that. I think they were afraid something bad was going to happen, and that's why they sent him. But really, they should not have sent him out there to go and do that feast. And of course, so Rob and Kathy, yes, two legendary drinkers in and out of the game there with 30 Coors Light, and I feel like they finished them.
Oh yeah, they definitely finished them. That scene,
Sestinino, you don't know anything.
Yeah, that scene goes on for quite some time. I tried to get all these clips down to under a minute, but some of these scenes really go on, and they drink well into the night, well after they've come up with the difficult decision of naming their tribe Soliantu. They keep drinking.
Yeah.
And they eventually go to bed together, but not in the way that you think.
No, I know that. Don't say that I think that way. But Kathy does describe Boston Rob as, so I'm out here with this young buck.
Yeah. So my girlfriend has not seen Marquesas, and I showed her this clip, and her takeaway from that was, she was like, what does that lady say she's going to pound? But it was beers. She's going to pound the beers and eat the pizzas.
And I was sitting across from this young buck. And I'm going to pound beers and eat pizza with this guy.
Hey, watch it. Yeah, young Boston Rob was in his drinking prime at that point, I think.
Absolutely. And if I can spoil, this isn't the only time he's going to show up on this list.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So a legend, a Survivor Hall of Famer, and a Survivor Drinking Hall of Famer as well. And Kathy, no slouch either.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on, this next clip requires a little bit more setting up. There's a reward challenge that they've only done a few times in the history of the show. But the way that the reward works is that the winner gets a feast. And then the winner, he or she, also gets to choose all of the other members of the tribe, what they get to eat and what they don't get to eat. And so this creates, if you've seen these episodes, like a lot of entertainment, but a lot of tension, because sometimes people get, you know, just a cup of water and some rice. And then both times that this has happened in Survivor, the winner also gets just an open bar.
Yeah.
And so this clip coming up is the aftermath of that. So Judd from Survivor Guatemala wins this reward. And in another twist with this one, he gets to share the open bar with a person, and he picks Bobby John. And so this clip is them coming back to camp after drinking, I don't even know how many drinks.
Yeah!
You got it, buddy.
Judd, a little slower, hon.
Okay, we're there.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck, Judd.
That's right. Love you, kid. Love you like a fat kid loves cake, brother. I finally get to hug my boy right here.
Yeah. Judd was pretty well drunk. He was jovial for a while, and then Bobby John thought he was going to move this stump to the fire.
Man, I got this huge stump out here.
Well, it was a 30-foot tree.
One, two, three.
This is something.
Hold
you stay up here.
All right.
Me and you will sit.
Oh! Let's get it in the morning.
Boy, that Gary Hawkins is a real buzzkill, right?
Yeah, you know, he's a sort of a good narrator, but it's definitely, you can tell he's not having fun. He's not having as much fun as we are right now.
Yeah. It does feel like that they do give away that open bar too often on Survivor. I don't think any Survivor needs open bar. I'm not sure how much you need it in real life. And especially on Survivor, these people haven't eaten in, you know, 24, 25 days. And it's like, all right, you're going to get a hamburger and open bar.
Right. Well, this is not an official honorable mention, but one of the moments that doesn't make the list is from Survivor Cook Islands at the merge. And Jonathan Penner gets really annoyed because all of the young Raro kids are drinking. And he says the same thing. Like, they're drinking too much, they're eating too much, and then they're vomiting off the side of the boat.
Yes.
And, you know, he's there, obviously, famously, for $1 million.
Yes. Yeah. He says,
get faded.
Yeah. I don't know why these kids want to just get faded right now.
I actually solved the mystery of where he heard get faded. I was there was the recap episode that's like halfway through the season there, like a closer look. And there's a hidden scene from that episode in Cook Islands where early on in the season, Stephanie is still there and all of the Raro people are getting drunk. And Nate is the one who says faded all the time. So mystery solved. Jonathan Penner learned the term faded from Nate.
There's this guy, Nate, and he's always going to get faded. So I picked that up. It's just like Bobby John tried to pick up that 30-foot tree.
Yeah, so I debated, obviously, this one. You really do need to see the tree. And if you have access to the episode, whether it's on CBS All Access or whatever, definitely see it. Gary Hawkins is not exaggerating. It's an entire tree. But I think that the audio makes it, like, it's, the audio is funny enough because you hear Judd's, like, crazy laugh. And he's telling everybody he loves them. And you can hear them, like, falling through the brush and crashing over trees and stuff.
Were there more problems with drunk Bobby John or drunk Judd? Which was the bigger issue for the tribe?
I think that, Judd gets drunk multiple times on this season. There's another clip that doesn't quite make the cut where Judd gets drunk and drinks all of the beers. Mm-hmm. And then he nominates himself the sheriff of figuring out who drank everyone else's beers.
Yeah.
So I think that probably over the course of the season, Judd is the bigger problem. But in this instance, Bobby John's the one who's like trying to drag an entire tree back to camp. He also earlier in the scene tries to light the fire with his cigar while it's still in his mouth. So they're both a mess.
Bobby John's a real party.
Yeah. Have you met him and partied with him?
No. You know what? I met him a couple times, but I would not say that I partied with Bobby John.
All right. Fair enough.
Maybe Boston Rob and Kathy, but not Bobby John.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So up next on the list, we have just one season later, a classic moment from Survivor Exile Island. To set this clip up a little bit, Kasaya wins a reward and they get an outhouse built by Charmin at their camp. And then later that night, it starts to rain.
Yes.
And both Bob Dog and Bruce feel like that they're being kicked out of their spots in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to have a little bit of fun in the outhouse. And then at the end of the clip, we also hear the fallout from what they do in the outhouse.
Okay. And they take a bottle of wine with them that I guess they also won at the reward, right, into the Casa del Charmin.
Yes.
We're sitting in the outhouse drinking wine.
Sounds like, you know what? Maybe we should drink this. Probably stole that place in the shed. So, and they stole it over, you know, they did that.
They just do whatever they want to do for me.
Right.
They always, you don't think of other people first.
Right. I can't fake it, I can't bond with them.
Celebrate and drink that wine together.
Right, and I brought it in there because we were supposed to drink it last night.
Yeah,
together.
But why would you ever do that on your own?
Because I was like, you guys, I didn't have a place to sleep.
You did.
I didn't think I did. Maybe I did, but no, when
well,
I called out,
you
when
really
I called
made
out,
a bad call.
I don't feel bad that I stole your wine. Like, I feel bad that I deprived them of wine, but I have no hard feelings about the fact that you've been deprived of wine.
Classic Bob Dog.
Yeah, this is, I think, what makes Bob Dog probably really memorable. He doesn't make it super far into the game. He goes pre-merge, but we still talk about Bob Dog, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that him and Bruce Kennegai drink a whole bottle of wine in an outhouse on a season of Survivor.
Yeah, but it's really Bruce who's like the devil on his shoulders, just like, who cares what they say? Screw them.
Right.
Drink the wine. Who cares?
Yeah, he's like, they always do that. That's just what they do.
That's what they do. Yeah, he's like, Bob Dog's like, yeah, you're right. And then he's the one who's getting in trouble.
Right. Well, you know, Courtney is a bit of a firecracker that season. She rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Famously, too, like when Bruce gets evacuated later in the season, she like walks all over his rock garden. So, you know, there's not a lot of love lost between Courtney and anybody in Kasaya.
Yeah, Bob Dog could have handled that better, I think, the next day also.
Right. Well, I believe that's the episode where he gets voted out. So, you know,
Yeah. Maybe this is not the way you want to handle that if you're in a similar situation.
I don't feel bad that I stole your wine. Like, I feel bad that I deprived them of wine, but I have no hard feelings about the fact that you've been deprived of wine.
He's pretty calm through the whole thing.
Yeah, he's really good. So, yeah. So, advice for any listeners that become a future Survivor player. If you're on the island and you win an outhouse and a bottle of wine and you choose to drink the wine in the outhouse, at least feel a little bit sorry for it later.
Yeah. Maybe it'll help. Okay. So, that's number eight, John. Where are we going next?
We're going to take a little break here and go to another one of my honorable mentions. This one doesn't officially take place during a game of Survivor. But I had to go and include the drunkest reunion performance.
Ooh.
And that once again goes to my good buddy, Boston Rob.
Okay. This is Marquesas.
This is Marquesas. Okay. How did you know?
You got a million-dollar smile, Rob, and you got an amazing manner about you. How was this experience for you?
I was glad Sarah brought her boobs, too.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Rosie.
Wow, not being a cutie patootie right there.
No, and I don't like to point any fingers, but I'm pretty sure Boston Rob has said that he was more than a little bit drunk during that performance, so I feel comfortable saying that.
Yeah, so that's the Marquesas finale. They did it outside at Central Park. That was going to be like a whole big thing. Rosie O'Donnell was hosting, and I think it was a bit of a nip in the air as well, and so who knows what the Survivor cast was up to pre-gaming for that night.
Yeah, they're all wearing coats, so, you know, some of them might have flasks even.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would say that entire cast, if we had to take an average, like if we had to make someone do the blow test to see how much everyone had drunk, I think that that's probably on average the drunkest reunion. But I think Rob probably is king of that castle.
How was this experience for you?
I was glad Sarah brought her boobs too.
Yeah.
That's not even an answer to the question she asked.
No, it's not. And he has a really hard time saying it. Like, he's smiling so much and he says like boobs. He can't quite get it out.
Yeah, I think he was prepped for a different question.
How was this experience for you?
I was glad Sarah brought her boobs too.
Wow.
Right after that, he goes on this thing where he tries to set up this joke about how Hunter Ellis is still really sad. Like, he brings a prop. He brings a tissue and he like stands up and hands it to Hunter.
Yeah. Hunter, I think, was pretty buzzed too that night. If you watch the clip of him as well.
Yeah. They definitely all are. But I think, and, you know, no offense to Rob, Boston Rob's first game, but I think that he earned his spot back on All-Stars, like, from that night. Like, he...
Oh, that was it?
Well, I don't think it's just that, but, like, honestly, you know, he's a merge boot. You know, he doesn't make the jury in his first time out.
Mm-hmm.
And he still gets the call back. And, like, in that reunion, like, they end up calling back to him several more times than... You know, any other random merge boot on any random season.
Yeah.
He brings the attention to himself. And I think that probably helped. That's the last we see of Boston Rob until All-Stars.
Yeah. So
that's like the final impression.
Well, he certainly was a big character in those first seven episodes in Marquesas. Definitely a memorable reunion moment and perhaps the drunkest reunion moment of all time.
And that's why I picked it.
Good.
So going back to our official list, we're at number seven of the funniest drunken Survivor moments, and we're going to come to a recent season, and this is Survivor Ko-Rong, and it is the Merge Feast. A lot of these actually come, I'm sure you've started to notice, from the Merge Feast. That's when they seem to get the most wine or beer.
Mm-hmm.
And in this moment, Debbie, the classic Debbie, has a little bit of a secret that she's been harboring for a while, and she needs to let it out.
Okay, Nick, I have a full confession.
No, not now.
I just wanted to cut away. I'm happily married, but you are a very good-looking guy.
Right. Too much wine.
Oh, hi.
Back on.
I'll save you from the scary pirate.
During the merge feast, people were getting a little tipsy.
Nick.
Yes, they were.
Setting it up that drunk Debbie was thirsty.
Yeah, everybody's pretty drunk, but I think Debbie really leads the charge in that scene with her confession that is to the shock of nobody that she really loves Nick. And then we hear some lovely banter from Scott and Ty and Kyle Jason. I think it's really funny that Debbie does her little cat growl thing.
I'm happily married, but you are a very good-looking guy.
No, Debbie is the one who makes the cat noise. And then a few seconds later, Kyle Jason does the same thing where he pretends he has a crush on Ty, and then he also does it. But that first one, that big loud one, is that comes out of Debbie.
Wow, that doesn't even sound like a noise that a human could make.
Well, no, I think that's like an animal deep down inside her that needs to come out.
It sounds like that tiger that was on her bathing suit was actually doing the talking.
Did that bathing suit actually make it onto the show?
I don't think so. I think it was just in the
promo
photo.
Pictures. Yeah. That's honestly, I mean, I love Ko Rong, but that's got to be number one disappointment from Ko Rong. That was a character I wanted to see, and we didn't get to see the tiger bathing suit.
Well, if we ever get to see Debbie back on Survivor again, I hope they get a chance to write that Ko Rong.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say I would cast a vote for that.
She would need some sort of an outfit changer.
Right. Maybe, yeah. Nick. I don't know what he's doing.
Maybe. So, all right. Fun stuff from Debbie from the Ko Rong Merge Feast.
Moving on. We're about halfway through the list already. I hope everyone is still with me and no one has passed out yet.
No,
I have some good moments to go.
Unless somebody is doing the shots after each one, but I think they're probably still awake.
Well, we'll see. After the next couple rounds, we'll have to do a check-in.
Okay.
But number six on the list, we go to Survivor Palau. Once again, now this time there isn't actually a merge in Survivor Palau, but this is from the episode where Stephanie joins Karor. And similar to the clip just before it, there's another merge feast. And in this one, if you guys remember, a bunch of like local people from Palau come and they make a feast, and they also make a coconut rum drink for everyone.
It's a big party.
It's a big party. And Tom has a lot of fun as well.
They hand over these bottles of rum, they open up some coconuts, and they pour the rum into the coconuts. It was so good.
Where's Tom? Drinking the bottle?
Drinking it straight up.
Let's put this kind of food on the table every night. Steph, you thought you were going to come in as the stranger to this truck?
I knew if I came here, I would be welcome.
Oh, I love you.
We love you.
Obviously, we need new lights. What do you have first?
Lady? Tom, you're not driving tonight, okay?
Tom kind of looked turned to be a lightweight, though. What's going on with, like, the strongest guy in our camp getting wasted? It was weird.
This is our
battle
guy.
Tom's driving.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
What happens? Tom falls over?
Oh, yeah. Tom falls over. They have like a picnic bench and he tries to get up and kind of backflips over it.
Who's that completely emasculating Tom? Is that Katie Gallagher?
Yeah. The one who says that he can't drive? That's Katie.
Lightweight, though. What's going on with like the strongest guy in our camp getting wasted?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. Do you think that Tom heard about that at the firehouse after?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure all of Truck 108 was really ribbing him for that.
Yeah. They were really just probably mocking him mercilessly. Was anybody else as drunk as Tom?
No, I mean, Stephanie, you know, we see her play three times, so we can see that, like, when she has a drink or two, like, she gets a little bit louder, and I think that everyone probably had a couple of those rum drinks, but, like, Tom goes on to a whole nother level. It's amazing to see this player who is obviously considered one of the great heroes of Survivor, and he's very stoic and, like, well-spoken. He completely loses the ability to speak. Yeah. I've listened to this clip probably 50 times. I can't figure out what he says to Stephanie when he says that they need new legs on the tribe. I don't know what they're saying.
We love you.
Obviously, we need new legs. What do you have first?
Lady? Tom, you're not driving tonight, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, can you make any sense of that?
I don't know. That they got to replace those Willard legs that they got rid of.
Oh, that's right. Well, they always have the idol.
Well, this is post-merge. I think they took that away from them.
Oh, that's true. They lost both their Willards.
Yeah. Now, Stephanie is involved in two of these clips that she's there with Tom. And then I think she also gets open bar with Judd and Bobby John.
Yeah, she's kind of an enabler, I guess, if we're looking just at this list.
Yeah. She can hold her liquor, Stephanie. You know, say what you want about her and the filet mignon pizza. But no, Stephanie, that she's somebody that, you know, if when you get pulled over in the car, let her do the talking, everybody.
Right. Yeah. Let her do the driving.
Okay. All right. So there you go. Not Tom Westman. He's not driving.
No, not tonight. He's not driving truck 108.
Call an Uber, Tom. Okay. All right. John, where do you want to go next?
Well, so we are in the top five of our list.
Top five, baby.
Yeah, top five, baby. We only have five more to go and another actually a couple honorable mentions. So maybe a little bit more than five. I'll be honest, I'm having a hard time counting and keeping track right now. But let's power through.
Nobody will hold it against you.
Thank you. I am at my house right now, so I have nowhere to drive.
Good.
All right, so number five on our list, we're going all the way back to Survivor the Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah. So you may or may not remember this event, but this comes during Matthew wins his visit with his mother, and he wins the car. He gets the big reward towards the end of the season. And when he's away, you and the rest of the tribe decide to drink all of the wine, and I think you probably had a few beers left over as well.
Yeah.
We haven't a bathing suit party yet.
I got my foot stuck on the tree.
Everybody was just in such a good mood and not thinking about the game so much after seeing their family.
I am really glad I got to see your loved ones.
Like seeing Cindy running the foot.
I feel so much closer to you.
I tell you what, when I saw her walk across, I just wanted to see her and hug her. And it made you also what? Feel good.
Where's the other lady?
Life's all about. My foot was an absolute disaster. I don't know how much wine he drank, but he just got crazy.
Okay, you are going straight to where?
So dry here. I come back.
Okay.
I was like, Mom, I didn't take a shower in 31 days.
I showed my dad my hairy leg.
We had about five bottles of wine. I'm wearing a Speedo. The girls are in their bikinis. It's like a rap video.
Oh, memories, John.
Yeah, so maybe you're the one who should take the lead on this clip. But, I mean, obviously Butch steals the show, I think.
Yeah.
And you do a little bit, too. But I think the unsung hero of this clip is Christy, who gets her foot stuck in a tree somehow.
Yeah, I don't know how she did that. If you don't remember in this clip, there's like a tree that has like sort of like a Y part at the top. I don't know if she's like trying to stretch her foot or like scratch an itch or something like that. And then she got her foot stuck in the tree. She couldn't get it down. So in fairness to Butch here, Butch, you know, I don't think he's a big drinker and certainly not a big wine drinker. And in fairness to myself here, I think that this is really me at the height of my drinking power. So I feel like sure. That while tipsy, I don't feel like I'm ever out of control in any of these clips. I'll be really hungover the next day. But that to me, this was a great opportunity to get everybody really drunk, because the night before was when Alex got voted out and the girls are really mad at me. So if we went from like, you know, less than 24 hours ago, they're like screaming at me, you only care about yourself, you're an a-hole, to we're partying in bathing suits and drinking bottles of wine. This is quite the turnaround as far as I'm concerned.
Right. And very commendable. Although I will say you had pretty good control over your drinking, but shortly after this clip ends, you lead the whole tribe in like this weird sing-along.
Yeah. Well, look, that's just the, you know, there's nothing else to do there, John. There's no karaoke bar out in
there. Enough.
Yes. And, you know, I will let the record show that, you know, sometimes, you know, people think that's me throwing up, and I can assure you, I swear on my life that that is not me who is getting sick.
All right. And then do you want to set the record straight? Which rap video were you thinking of or referring to?
There was no particular rap video in mind, but, you know, the whole thing is all fun and games there. You know, we, you know, had the family visit and we had all of those bottles of wine and, you know, cheese and crackers, and Matthew was off, you know, he won the reward challenge and he was offered the chance. You want to have your own loved ones visit or give it up and everybody can have their own. And he said he would give it up. And then we all got to visit with our loved ones. And then Matthew still got to go and have the loved ones visit with his mom. So he was gone and it was me, Jenna, Heidi, Butch, and Christy during that moment and during that evening. And we took the bottles of wine home, and it was all like just like bottles of white wine that were at the feast. And, you know, we really hadn't eaten, and we took like all of the cheese and crackers with us, and it all was like fun and good, but things like really took a turn overnight. It really got very disgusting, the whole thing between, right, you know, somebody getting sick in the tribe's shelter, plus like all of like we basically like, if you ever had the experience, I'm sure you haven't, John, of that, you know, people get really drunk and then try to cook And then you wake up in the morning and like all of the dishes are like really disgusting. And that's sort of like, we tried to like cook like the cheese with like the food that we had. And it was like everything like smelled really bad. And it was like had sort of rained overnight. So everything was like wet and soggy and smelled bad and was disgusting and hungover. And that next morning is really one of the worst times in the entire game.
Yeah. Well, right. At the beginning of the clip, someone says something like, oh, my God, we're making manioc. Like, you're really excited about it, which, like, no one's been excited about that for a good 15 days.
Well, this is like the equivalent of you come home from the bar and somebody's like, yeah, we're making Hot Pockets. Like, okay. All right. It's like something you wouldn't probably be that excited about normally. But everybody was just, like, really tipsy and excited for it. But I would have killed a man for an Advil that next morning.
I bet they don't give those out on the reward challenges.
No, unfortunately. I think that Matthew might have come home and been like, what the hell is this? What happened here?
Yeah, I mean, imagine in his mind, he's like, I leave this tribe for 5 minutes.
Yeah, this is no good.
That was my tutelage.
Yes. Well, and then there was another moment where you mentioned that we might have had some beers left over, that we did have a pretty good merge feast in the Amazon, and we got a bunch of Coors Light at that point also, which I did partake in. But again, that was just fun. I really don't think that I was too tipsy at any point with that, even though they do a confessional with me where I'm pretty buzzed at that moment also.
Right. I did peruse that clip. It was in consideration, but you're right. In terms of just everyone's level of being on, it doesn't really compare.
Yeah. And then I actually got into a fight with Roger a little bit. I didn't get into a fight with him, but it was a source of irritation for Roger that we were trying to keep the beers and keep ice on the beers. And Roger just got like really mad. He's like, we need beers. Like we need a hole in the head. You know, he just like didn't want anything to do with keeping the beers for another couple of days, even though, you know, it would have been fun to just keep them for another 24 hours or so. But he was very anti.
And then he ends up going home. I'm starting to notice a thread here where we have Bob Dog kind of killing the buzz. Yeah. And then he goes home. Roger doesn't want anyone to have any beers on ice. And then he goes home.
Yeah. You got to keep the party going.
Even if we go to Ko Rong, we had that clip a few minutes ago where Nick says in a confessional that he's the only one not drinking. And then Debbie is purring at him.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't go home in that episode because Neil gets evacuated. But then he's the first one voted out after the merge. So maybe the key to making it past the merge is just not harshing anybody's mellow and just having fun.
I mean, we're joking around here, but I mean, there's definitely truth in that. Or if other people are having fun and you're being the person who's sort of like taking the ball away from everybody and saying, nope, that's it. No fun in this tribe. That's it. We're serious. I think that probably that's frowned upon by the majority of the tribe.
So look at that. We came into this just having some drunken fun, but we might have found a nugget of wisdom.
Yeah. Look, it's not the worst thing in the world to be able to throw a few back if you're a potential survivor. So practice going out and drinking socially, people.
Right. That's the takeaway from this.
Okay. Before we go any further, John, let me just take a moment and talk about NatureBox, because, you know, I was talking about in the Amazon, we came home and we were just like rummaging through whatever storage we had for anything to eat. Boy, we would have killed also for some great tasting healthy snacks from NatureBox. Forget about that junk food when you come home, because NatureBox makes snacks that taste great and are better for you with high quality ingredients, free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. John, I love the dark cocoa nom noms. What would Jenna and Heidi have given for some dark cocoa nom noms back in the day? Don't even answer that.
I'm blushing just thinking about it.
Or the pistachio power clusters, also one of my favorites. NatureBox, they made the service even better now. You can order as much as you want, as often as you want, without a minimum purchase required, and cancel anytime. Just go to naturebox.com. Check out the whole snack catalog, over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're always adding new ones. They deliver them right to your door with NatureBox. You won't ever get bored. New snacks each month inspired by real customer feedback. If you try something you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. So right now, check it out. NatureBox is offering our listeners 50% off their first order when you go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP. Get some healthier snacks here to start off 2017. NatureBox.com/RHAP. RHAP. All right, John, where are we going next?
This is actually the perfect transition, talking about healthy snacks versus unhealthy snacks. When we drink, usually we want to munch on something. Typically, it's something meaty, something greasy, and probably something that we're going to regret eating later on.
Yes.
This honorable mention doesn't actually include any booze, but my girlfriend insisted that we include the time from Survivor Ko Wong when Joe Del Campo gets a little bit too meat drunk.
The meat is so tender. Wow. And I don't eat a lot of meat, you know, because I'm not a big steak guy, but this...
Unbelievable. This is all I needed right here.
This was the best one I could have won, I think, for me.
Yep.
I was running out of fuel, guys. I cannot believe that I won today. I was absolutely thrilled. And then to get a more substantial meal of, like, real meat and stuff...
It's a huge advantage for me.
I'm loving this protein. Wow. With 6 days ago, for me to be refortified like this was just beyond my wishes. The whole reward couldn't have been better.
All beef.
All beef, Joe's all beef.
Meat drunk.
Yeah, Joe's all beef.
It's all beef, all meat. So tender. It was too tender. You know what?
It was a little bit too tender.
That meat, not so tender. Joe Campo probably going to the final three.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Like, it's funny to joke about. And the only reason I'm joking about this is because we know that he's completely fine now. But yeah, if he had just maybe cut it, had half the amount of meat.
Yeah,
he would be sitting in the final three. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he would have gotten a couple votes. Probably wouldn't have won. But
who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
What do you think? Perhaps like a red wine marinade on that tender beef?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think with those kind of cuts, you're talking about probably something in the cooking or served to the side. That's why I thought it could fit on the list somewhere. There's probably some wine somewhere in that process.
probably a good pairing for Joe Del Campo. Okay. Honorable mention for the meat drunkenness of Joe Del Campo. Okay, John. So what's next on the menu?
All right. So these top four were very difficult to rank. It's really hard to pick, you know, one versus the other. And then it was really hard to make the clips too, because these scenes, these top four, really go on for quite some time, and the hits just keep on coming. These are really, really quite funny. But to start off with number four, we're going to go to Survivor Africa, episode 12, The Big Adventure. This one is the one that gets brought up probably the most often, like on the Survivor subreddit and things like that. Tom and Lex, they win the big hot air balloon reward, and they also get dinner with drinks.
All of a sudden, I look out there beside the river, and I seen two chairs and a table, and I'm on that table. It had a few spirits on there, so I told Lex, I said, hey, looks like we might ought to have a toast.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for coming.
God, Jehovah Moto, God, holy.
Both Tom and I like to tip a cocktail back now and again at home. And so our first thought coming back was I'd kill somebody to get a nice cold beer in me. And this place is wonderful because if you want something, there's somebody right there. They can almost read your mind.
To the game.
I've never drank beer with a mustache before.
Ooh, I've never drunk beer with a hippo before.
Big Tom is the best. So what sort of adventures do Lex and Big Tom have being wasted?
Man, where to start? So they start drinking and then they have their dinner. And Big Tom takes the drinks, like he takes the bottle of, I think it's like Jim Beam or something, with him. Mm-hmm. And he puts it in his pocket, but it doesn't fit in his pocket. So it's like hanging out. They go have their dinner and then they go back to their little river seat and then they just keep on drinking. And eventually Tom gets so drunk that he gets even more incoherent, which is hard to really understate. But he starts singing some sort of a weird like military march rap thing about making himself some hot toddies. And then at one point, like eventually he starts to fall asleep in his chair and Lex has to like drag him into bed and they both tell each other that they love each other. And Big Tom says, thank you for putting me to bed. And I would do the same for you. And it ends on a really sweet note because they clearly are good friends. And as far as I know, they're still pretty good friends.
Big Tom, I think there was like some sort of like Survivor drinking Olympics, I think he can out drink any other player.
I have no reason to dispute that.
Yes, I think so. I went somewhere with Tom, like one of these charity events back a really long time ago. And Big Tom brought a flask of something. And he's like, hey, little Rob, you try this. And I said, oh, what is it? And he's a moonshine.
Never take moonshine from a goat farmer.
I have no idea what it actually was, but at least Big Tom was telling me that I was drinking moonshine at that point in time.
And you clearly lived to tell the tale, at least in some form.
I didn't go that insane, or I guess that ask my family if that's the case at the time. I decided to stay in my pajamas for the rest of my life and talk about reality shows.
Oh, maybe that was the moment.
That was the moment that set me on
this. You're having moonshine flashbacks.
Yeah. But Big Tom, I mean, you could probably do like 10 different drunk Big Tom clips.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's other points. Earlier in Survivor Africa, when they merge, they also get a bit of a feast and they're all drinking. And that's when infamously they play the Never Have I Ever game with Frank.
Yeah.
And that moment, like everyone's a little bit kind of drunk, but Tom is like hitting on T-Bird, like something fierce.
Yeah.
And so that's great. He has some sort of confessional about how like he knows his wife's going to watch this later, but like he would, you know, kiss T-Bird or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Survivor All-Stars, there's that scene where everyone's trying to build the raft.
Yeah.
And he's just drinking and yelling. And Sue has that great confessional where she's just like, I hate Tom.
Yeah. Well, what had happened with that was that we had won the Home Depot challenge and got like a crate drop down. And then in the crate was like a sort of like a big bottle of like scotch or something. And yeah. Rob and Tom were talking about like, hey, we should do like shots before we go to the challenge to get us like pumped up for like, I used to do this with my hockey team. And so like they started like talking about it. Maybe they were drinking before they tried to do that puzzle when I got voted out. Maybe that was the case. But then I think then just Big Tom just like got a hold of it. And then I think after I was gone, he just like finished it off one day when he was sitting out of the building the boat challenge.
Yeah. The biggest takeaway from that is that, of course, Boston Rob is on a hockey team. That was my only thought.
Well, that's what he was trying to bring as his luxury item for Survivor All-Stars, that he showed
up. His hockey team?
No. He brought a hockey stick as his luxury item. Like, he showed up in the hotel room that we were about to all leave, and he, like, walked in with, like, a hockey stick.
What, did he have any reason? Like, was it just like a totem to like, you know, for good luck? Or did he think it was going to come in handy somehow?
I think he probably thought it was going to come in handy.
You know, that's actually another idea for a podcast. People have brought some strange luxury items and they don't really spend too much time focusing on it anymore. But like in the history of Survivor, people have brought some weird things.
Well, that could be another countdown for a more sober day.
Yeah, I can't think straight. I'm having double vision. But we only have three more. We have to get through this and then we can cook up some meat skewers and go to bed.
Yes. And manioc. Right.
Yes. Well, that you can cook the manioc. I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
All right. So number three, we're going to go to Survivor Thailand, a season that is often maligned in the fan community. But I would argue that it is probably the drunkest season of Survivor overall. And this, once again, comes from a merge feast. We later learn in the episode that it is a fake merge feast, but just about every single person is remarkably, memorably drunk in this clip.
Oh, man.
Salud.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Salud.
Can I share this one?
Jan, well, Jan's a lush, and she admits it.
Janie doesn't drink.
Yeah. Oh.
Fine.
You better watch it.
Careful. You okay?
Yeah. Watch out behind
you. I hit the brick. I'm fine.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sure?
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, guys, that's Jan every night. Don't worry
about
it.
That is not true.
Shit, we got to sing, baby.
Woo! I bet you think I don't know nothing but singing the blues.
Yes.
We sang campfire songs.
They really did get a lot of booze in Survivor Thailand.
It's really remarkable. There's a clip that's really, really short that didn't make the list where Clay smuggles some booze. And I think it's in like the final five. And Jan goes completely nuts for it. Like he sneaks it to her and she's like sucking it down. And she's like, it's like a bottle. You need to put a nipple on it. And she's like screaming.
Yeah. No, everybody in that season is getting pretty drunk at one point or another. Forget Thailand. They should have called it My Thailand.
Yeah, My Thailand. That's good. To break down a little bit of the people in that clip, we have Jan herself, who is very happy. And she at one point falls over like halfway into the fire. We almost have another like fire evacuation. And then she's like, no, it's okay. I hit my head on the bricks. It's fine. And then we have Xi'an singing some sort of weird, sultry, jazzy number. This was an era of Survivor where people got drunk and sang songs, apparently.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't quite make the clip, but we have Brian getting really drunk and he starts playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you and Wiggler say that he almost lets his game slip during this whole scene where he starts getting a little bit too loose. And then he ends up going to go vomit, and then he takes Ted with him. Like, Ted goes to help him out, and then, like, no sooner does he actually finish vomiting, but then he starts, like, strategy talking with Ted.
Yeah, and he was a man on a mission.
Yeah, he never, like, he slips for one moment when he's playing the guitar, and then he's right back into it.
And, you know, a lot of viewers needed to resort to drinking to get through Survivor Thailand.
I mean, absolutely. I've recently been doing, I purchased and downloaded The Evolution of Strategy, and so I've been making my way through all the seasons, and Thailand is a bit of a slog.
It's not
as bad. Oh, I don't mean your coverage of Survivor Thailand, but the season itself, I would say it's not as bad as a lot of people remember, but it's definitely some work to get through. It would help if you had a couple Mai Tais.
Probably. Okay, so what else is on the list, John?
All right, we have two more, and then I'm going to split it up with one final honorable mention just to really draw out that tension.
Okay.
Try to make it to last call.
You're going to really Seacrest it.
Yeah, absolutely. Where did I get my training from? Number right. two, and in honor of our good friend Brett, this is from the most recent season, Millennials versus Gen X. This is the first of many times when Brett gets into his cups.
Some cocktails are coming.
Here he comes. Woo! Going into the reward, I says, they're going to be drinks, Brett. Take it a little easy. Don't go crazy.
Yes, sir. Right here.
But come on now. You get there. There's a pool looking out of the ocean. There's food. I was like, well, at least my belly will be filled so I can have more drinks.
Keep these coming until I drop, will you?
Yeah. Thanks.
So I just kind of went all up. I was like, I'm going to drink as much as I can while I'm here. This is ridiculous.
If you climb that beanstalk, you're looking at this face right here.
Man, my man Brett started knocking back the drinks. He was all in, man. He had probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 drinks.
Cannonball!
He was letting loose, but that's just Brett.
That goes on for quite a while.
Good for Brett. That they, look, this was one of the reasons why people fell in love with him this season.
I think that present company notwithstanding, if I could meet one survivor like right now, it would probably be Brett, and I would suggest we go out to a local pub that I know about.
He was really fun in the interview that I asked him a question that people wanted to know. What was his drink of choice? And boy, we really opened up a can of worms there.
My favorite part about that whole clip is at the beginning in the confessional, he says, I knew coming into the reward there was going to be some drinks, and I was saying to myself, Brett, let's take it a little bit easy. And then not even like 3 seconds later, he goes, I'm just going to drink as many drinks as I can.
Yeah.
Like, that turnaround is so fast.
Seize the day.
And I don't know if anyone is like a bartender or an aficionado, but if you watch that clip, he's drinking something that looks like a fruity drink. He definitely puts away a couple beers. Eventually, he's in the pool and he's drinking what looks like a White Russian. So, like, he really runs the gamut of different types of drinks, too.
Look, John, when in Rome, right? You got to try them all.
Yeah, he probably asked to see a menu and just went right down the list.
Why not? One of each. So, good job there by Brett in the number two clip. In the funniest Survivor drunk moments countdown.
There's such a thing as a recency bias where like the things that we see most recently, we tend to rate higher. But I honestly think that clip, that scene, that episode will go down in history as one of the best drunken moments in Survivor history. I stand by my rankings.
What is it that you like so much? The cannonball?
Yeah, I mean, it's just everything. Like everyone's really encouraging him. He's like talking about climbing up Chris at one point. Mm-hmm. He wants to like go catch a bunch of fish and make those into drinks. Like it's not enough that he has 13 different drinks from the menu, but he wants to invent some new weird fishy alcohol.
For Stephen Fishback, a Fishback inspired alcohol.
Oh, there we go. We should definitely collaborate on that.
Okay.
All right. So before we get to number one on the list, we got to do one last honorable mention. And I think this is a really good clip, but I think that technically young Eric Reichenbach is not really drunk. I think he might actually be a little bit high. He gets offered betel nuts in this clip, and I've been to Asia, and I know that betel nuts are a mild hallucinogenic, so I don't know if this quite qualifies as a drunken moment, but it's a good one, and Eric Reichenbach, take it away.
This is Thai beer.
Thank you.
Yes.
You want some betel nuts for your baskets?
Yes.
It's very good for getting warmed up. Yeah, I see that. That's the betel nut sheet that the boys.
Oh, they're climbing it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
I thought it interesting that all their women were topless. I'm sitting there ready to eat my food, and the lunch lady doesn't have a shirt on.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a little culturally interesting for me. I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, but that's the most boobs I've probably seen in my whole life.
I like that he really just tries to downplay it. Like, I mean, it wasn't a huge deal, but.
Right. But during the scene, like, his eyes are so wide and he keeps just saying, like, oh my gosh, and like, wow, which is why I think maybe it's the Beetle Nuts talking and not the Hawaii beer.
Yes. I think you're going to say the other nuts.
Right. Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Wow. Classic Reichenbach.
Yes. All right. Are you ready, Rob? Are you
I am
still
ready.
With me?
I am ready. Okay.
Can you say the alphabet backwards before we do the final clip?
I probably couldn't have done it before we started, so that's not really a good indicator of anything.
All right. Well, I'm going to just take your word for it. I'm going to take your keys, and then I'm going to take your word for it, and we're going to reveal my opinion, the number one funniest drunken moment in Survivor history. Going once again back to Survivor Thailand, this is when Ted wins the car and wins the reward, which is a night at a spa, and he takes his good buddy Helen. And it's important to note, although I think it says it in the clip, that Ted and Helen are not drinkers. They do not drink. I don't know if they've ever had a drink before, but they decide, why not? When in Thailand? When in my Thailand?
Right.
Help yourself.
Helen nor I, we don't drink alcohol.
I think we need to celebrate. Definitely.
We said, okay, fine. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we're going to go for it. Cheers.
Cheers.
How you doing, baby?
It's heaven, Ted.
Hey, I'm not drunk. Am I drunk?
No.
Hey, Helen.
What?
I love you.
Ted, I love you, and I cannot tell you what this means to me.
Hey, Helen, is it my turn to
It's your
shower?
Turn, and enjoy that shower.
Give me a preview of how that massage is. Oh! Oh! Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah, dog. Hey, did I tell you how good this feels?
That is a really funny clip where the woman that's giving Ted the massage is like one third of the size of him, right?
Right, absolutely. I mean, Ted's a big guy. He makes a reference at a part that I cut out of the clip, how he used to be like over 300 pounds and he loses a lot of weight in Thailand, but he's still quite tall and he's still pretty big. And yeah, the Thai woman who's massaging him is very... not big.
Yeah. And Helen, I do feel like, is just trying to be polite that Ted won the challenge. He took Helen. And I think under any other circumstances that Helen really would have like, Ted, you're out of control. But I think that just out of like gratitude just for being there, she's just sort of like, yeah, okay, Ted. Yeah, okay, good one. She's really just very uncomfortable with the whole thing.
Helen is one of the unsung heroes of Survivor Thailand.
I love Helen.
I really wish that she'd had an opportunity to play again. I guess never say never in this era of Survivor, but she has so many great one-liners. She's always calm, cool, and collected. She drinks with Ted, and she has probably the same like lack of tolerance, but she keeps a very cool head. And you're right, she has a confessional where she says that normally she would be annoyed by Ted, but it's his reward, and she's going to let him have his fun. And she's just, she would probably be a good drinking buddy too. She just lets you do what you want.
Yeah, but he's just completely out of control and screaming. And I mean, in fairness, you know, based on some of the other things that happened in Survivor Thailand, like Ted's at times is out of control when he's not even drunk.
Right. And this clip goes on. This one is not only, in my opinion, the funniest, but it's definitely the largest chunk of an episode dedicated to the single plot point of look how drunk this individual person is. You know, in a 40-minute episode, not including the commercials, this is probably at least 8 or 9 minutes of them drinking and then eating. And then he starts showering and then they go into the massage. Like, I had a really hard time cutting it down to a couple little mini montages.
Yeah, they really have, I think, in a lot of ways, improved the pacing. I know that's going to be a little bit of a hot take on some of these things where, like, even like that reward challenge you're talking about where Big Tom and Lex go off on the hot air balloon. That's like the middle 30 minutes of the episode, like Lex and Big Tom off going on the balloon adventure on the safari. And it really turns out to be the undoing of Ted and Helen. Survivor Thailand, spoiler alert, where then while they're away, that's like Jan really narcs them out about that they were drawing in the sand. And then that's going to be it for Big Ted in this episode.
Yeah, I think evidence shows that Jan is probably just upset that she's not drinking right now.
She was bitter. She was bitter about the whole thing. Jan's a really funny character, too. In addition to all the drinking stuff, the pet cemetery stuff is really funny, too.
Yeah, she's super memorable. I know that she gets a lot of flack sometimes because she isn't the best at playing the game and she kind of just rides along with Brian Heidick, but she's definitely a very memorable character.
And the couple times I met her in real life, I think she was like really fun off the show as well, and definitely ready to throw a few back. That's the thing about I can't speak to how these new school survivors are, but I do feel like that almost any of the survivors that I met when I first came off the show, they were all big drinkers. Like, they definitely knew how to party.
Yeah, well, I guess this is a good time to talk about sort of what I learned while watching all of these clips and looking for clips. And it's that there's a really big alcohol desert in the whole middle half of Survivor.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just changing personalities or, like you said, like changing focus on the edit, or if certain people just don't like drinking or they provide less alcohol. I would say that I noticed that usually every merge feast includes alcohol. So I think that they still do drink. But like, you can go up to about Survivor 16 and there's one or two drunken moments per season, and then it just disappears, going from Survivor 17 all the way until Survivor 29, which is San Juan del Sur. There's nothing. There is no focus on any drunkenness. We get a little bit of a clip of John Misch in San Juan del Sur talking about how much he loves wine, and he gets a little bit drunk. But then if you look at the most recent couple seasons, there are multiple examples just on my list of drunken moments. So we seem to be coming back into maybe a drunken renaissance.
Yeah, a drunken renaissance. That's perfect. You know what I think it was? I think it was actually maybe in Cagayan when Spencer and Tony had the pineapple Ritas from the Outback. I think that that's what opened the door for alcohol to once again be involved with Survivor.
Right. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe Outback saved the drunken Survivor montage.
Yes, I think they had to maybe get their liquor license back just to have the pineapple Ritas. And now who knows where we go from here? Maybe we could even have a season theme of teetotalers versus lushes.
Oh, did anyone mention that on your Survivor summit?
No, not yet. Not yet. Yeah, we have a tribe that's all people that love to drink. And a tribe, well, we do three tribes of like people that are recovering people who used to drink, then people who still love to drink, and people who never drink.
Right. Or you could even do a tribe divide of like people who go with bourbon versus people who go with like scotch. There's a lot of opinions in the alcohol world. So you could have that. You could have like a white liquor versus a dark liquor tribe.
Anything is possible here as Survivor marches on in this brave new alcohol-fueled world. All right, John, this was really fun to go through this whole list, and I really want to commend you for your outstanding research into the world of Survivor drunkenness.
It's been fun. I would happily do something like this again. Just don't give me an assignment like saddest Survivor moments.
That's a buzzkill.
Part of the entertainment, part of what kept me going was just laughing the whole time.
I think that the thing we have learned is you don't want to be the person who's going to bring everybody's mood down from what we've seen on these Survivor games. So that's not what we're going to do.
And you'll get voted out if you bring the mood down.
That's not what I want to do. John, do you have a hashtag to commemorate this funniest drunken Survivor moment countdown?
Well, you know, I want it to be Drunken Renaissance or Pineapple Rita, but these are too long and too hard to spell. So I don't know if we have like a really shortened version of a good, like what would be a good Survivor drink. Maybe My Thailand. Hashtag My Thailand.
Yeah, okay, sure. That's My Thailand, like a Mai Tai, the drink. Have you ever had a Mai Tai? I don't think I have.
I think I have. It's kind of fruity. It's pretty good. It's not my favorite. I'm much more of I like beer, or I like straight, you know, like whiskey or scotch or something like that.
I think I had Mai Tai, like Jelly Belly jelly bean. I think that's my only exposure to Mai Tai.
Well, you have all the sweetness there and none of the actual alcohol.
So it's more like a Mai Tai Trang.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
That's for another show. Yeah. That's for another topic. Okay. John Krause, great job once again. John, if people want to follow up with you and inevitably complain about their favorite drunken moments that you left off the list, where do they go to do that?
My only real social media presence is on Twitter. You can follow me at, my Twitter name is John Krause, JonKrause. I tweet mostly about Survivor or Big Brother when it's on. I will definitely be tweeting about Hunted when it comes out.
Yes. Who won't be?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a real storm of tweets about Hunted.
Yeah, I think that's happening for sure. Of course, that's going to be on after the AFC Championship game this weekend, probably when a few people have had drinks by that point after the AFC Championship game. And myself and Kirk Clark and John's buddy Liana are going to be back together to talk about that. And then I think another Hunted episode on Wednesday. So we're going to be like boom, boom, boom out of the gate with Hunted.
That must mean that a couple people get caught real fast.
I guess so. We'll see how it all goes. Of course, my interview with Brett LaBelle is up on the website, as well as my postseason interviews with Adam Klein and David Wright, all up on robhasawebsite.com. Make sure you don't miss any of those shows by subscribing to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. We are very much looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about the list on robhasawebsite.com. Take care and learn the lesson of Tom Westman in Palau, and don't ever drink and drive. Take care. Bye.
Cheers.